What I've realized for me is, and I think I would say this to every person who feels any bit called in music or worship, you have to find your place.
Good day, good day, Kingdom Corner podcast followers and devotees. The great Matt Guibe with you once again at the Kingdom Corner. And on the way in this morning, as you tuned in, you may have heard a new intro of music. Oh, and that is so special because it's just a segues into what we're doing today. That is from my special friend, Chris Walters. Chris Walters, who is going to be with us today. I'm interviewing her on this podcast, and I'm so excited. I'm so excited. This is one of those special podcasts that I've been promising you that I would have some more interviews, and it's such a treat to have her with us today. We're going to be speaking mainly about worship, but a number of other things that are related to that. So having said that, let me go through her bio a bit for you. Chris has been facilitating worship and writing songs to glorify God for over 40 years. For the past 2 years, she has been traveling to various areas in the Pacific Northwest and leading worship in small groups and gatherings, primarily in homes and small churches. These small gatherings allow an intimacy in the Holy Spirit not often experienced in larger gatherings. She's able to lead familiar choruses, share personal songs she has written, as well as stories that edify and encourage those who are present. Her goal is to allow the Holy Spirit to have His way in each heart there. She has recently been raising money to help finance a recording goal, to get her music out on various platforms to bless a larger audience. Chris has a Bachelor of Theology and a Bachelor of Arts in Business Administration. She spent the bulk of her career in human resources and retired in 2018. Her home base is in Des Moines, Iowa, where her daughter and son-in-law live with three children, her grandchildren. She's going back to see them soon. She is traveling in May to Arizona and New Mexico, where she will be ministering on her way home to Iowa. Chris doesn't technically have a home because she feels strongly that the Lord called her to travel and be available anywhere and anytime He calls. Hallelujah. And that's why I have her here today. I'm in the Pacific Northwest as well. Chris and I go a long, long way back, over 40 years. We went to the same church and Bible college at one time. It's interesting. A lot of people that I've made real close friendships or friendships with in the past few years, I didn't know them at that Bible college or that church. It was pretty big. I knew of them. Chris was one I knew of. She was out in the forefront ministering. She was part of they had a professional music studio there, but produced a lot of beautiful worship music. She was a major part of that. I knew of her there. I don't know if she really knew me. I was kind of in the background. She'd have to tell me, but I'm probably thinking it was 5 or 6 years ago that I really got reacquainted with her, as because my our good friend, who's went on to be with the Lord, Pastor Don Tuggle, brought her out here for a concert, and that's when I really was reintroduced to her. And it's such a blessing to have her here today. So with that, we'll go right into the interview. I am so excited. I think you'll be thrilled with. She brings so much wisdom and so many pearls to share. So make sure you're listening well and taking notes and ready to ask questions if you so need to. So I was wondering, is part of your goal to be able to get some money back in for yourself for the music you're putting out there on such platforms as Spotify and YouTube? Not to pry into your personal business, you can answer however you want. But I was wondering, is part of your goal then to be able to get some money back in for yourself for what you're putting out there?
Okay, that's a great question, and I'm really glad you asked it, because money has never been my motivator. I've been blessed so far to not be motivated by money. I'm not motivated by any sense of worldly recognition. So the money, any money that would come in, and I guess it can come in through royalties. I had to join a licensing or performing rights. I joined BMI. I set up my own publishing company. I'm doing things so that if there's royalties, they'll know where to send them. My expectations, as far as with the Lord, I'm like, Lord, I don't know. Am I supposed to cast a really wide net and go for it? Or I've been really happy singing to my friends. I mean, not singing to them, but leading worship for them and being in groups, small groups. That's kind of my happy place. I don't see myself touring or being out front. If people wanted to cover my songs, that would be just fine with me. So with the money, as to answer your question, any money that comes in, I'd like to put back into the ministry.
Well, I was thinking from our last conversation, the way you've answered this is what I thought, the way I thought you'd answer it. But on the same hand, if you're putting a lot of money into this, which is what it sounds like, it'd be nice to get enough money back to kind of support that. Does that make sense?
Right. Well, so people have seeded money into this ministry. This money that I'm going to pay on these initial songs was completely donated.
Right.
So I'll get personal here. I'm on Social Security disability. I have a fixed income and funds are very limited for me. I'm a very frugal person. I don't need a lot of things. I don't even have my house anymore because the Lord told me to be available to travel, be available to go in season where He wants me to go, which I love that lifestyle. Being single, I can do that. So I don't have a lot of money, but I don't need a lot of things. So the money that I get through Social Security will pay my medical bills, which I always have to meet my deductible every year due to my cancer treatment. I hate to say my cancer treatment, the cancer treatment. I don't claim that.
No, it's not yours. It's not yours.
So always at the beginning of the year, I have to put out a few $1,000s to meet my out-of-pocket max.
So how's this sound? And it kind of segues into some of what we would be talking about, I think, because I've gotten to know you a little bit. I knew you a little before, but now I know you better. I see you. This way my mind works, and you can agree or disagree. I kind of see you, traveling around, perfecting your music so it's high quality, so people know that it's just not some fly-by-night gal that's out there, you know, just like so many other people in a sense. But I see you, maybe God's going to connect you with your music, maybe as one of his worship facilitators out going through the country. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
That's how I see you. I mean, I have people... and I don't know what to do about it. I'm like you, maybe worse than you in some ways, as far as knowing how to facilitate some of these technical things. And I got younger friends that know, but they try to explain it to me, and it's like they race circles around me. So I'm scratching my head. But I have my podcast. I've had it 4.5 years. I have some audience, but not as much as I'd like. But I see myself kind of, I don't care about any money either, kind of facilitating the message out there.
Right.
Like, and that's how I see you with music. So I don't know.
Yes.
I think that's exciting. What I was going to say is probably has happened to you and has happened to me. Even with my small audience, I've had people in different parts of the world get a hold of me. And it's not been a lot of people. I made a connection with, I believe, a legitimate apostle in Africa. And you probably know, if you've been on social media, if they see you're on there, they know you're Christian or whatever. A lot of these people in these countries
They hit you up right away and they want money. And this man never asked me for a dime. And he kept listening to my podcast, and then he wanted to talk to me, and we talked. Never asked me for a dime. And after about 7 months, I said, Marcus, because we'd talk every 2 weeks, how come you never asked me for money for your ministry? You know, and they're pretty poor. And he says, because I wanted you to get to know me, that I'm a man of God, and God's gonna take care of that, you know. So
right.
So anyway.
Amen. And that's how I felt so far. And I've been traveling and meeting in homes and small churches for, almost 2 years on and off. And I've never once had to say, I need help financially.
Wow.
So either the money comes in voluntarily or I truly have what I need.
Amen. Wow. Well, I'm excited for you.
Well, thank you. It is kind of fun. There's this fear, you know, that when I go back home, that I will get sidetracked by my grandkids. However, I'm trying to do what I can, what needs to be done here before I leave. And I fully intend, my heart is to possibly start some kind of a home group.
Well, good.
With a cross section of people that come from anywhere and everywhere. I don't even know how I'll get the word out. I don't know where we'll meet.
Well, why not?
But I feel like I need to take some of the things I've experienced out here. I've been in home groups, like a weekly church meeting. I've been in a weekly prayer meeting it's interesting where we intercede and I lead music here. I'll lead music for a little while. Then we might pray. Then there might be another song. We kind of try to flow in the spirit.
Yes.
And worship is such a key part of intercession, I believe.
Amen. Yeah. I want to write that down. That's a good point. Worship. Worship is a essential part of, what did you say? That's good.
Well, pretty much worship is important in intercession. I think in tandem. When you have a worship, like I sit at the piano and wait on God, and we might do some familiar, I try to do familiar choruses, but then I might lead out somewhat prophetically, or we might sing in the spirit.
Whoa.
So
that's good.
Yeah. So I have been really encouraged by that, because look, there's a lot of different settings for worship. There's, let me expand that even more. There's a lot of settings for music. So for instance, you have radio music.
Yes. Tell me about that. You started to talk about that before.
Yeah. I really had to go to the Lord about some of the stuff I was hearing on the radio. because I was an HR manager for my career. And one thing I learned really quick and fast is that not everything is a good fit. So I use that phrase a lot. So radio music for me and for what I do is simply not much of a fit. Now, I probably use maybe about 5% of what I hear on the radio.
Wow.
Not a lot. The rest of it comes through, maybe I'm on YouTube. YouTube is a little more specific. You can type in worship and you're going to get a whole different world is going to open up to you. People that don't get on the radio are on YouTube. But let's go back to radio music. My daughter has recently really come back to the Lord and she's on fire, and she has kids and they have Christian music on in the car and they love it. And I realized radio music has its place. Just because it's not necessarily what speaks to me, or I find it a fertile field that I can pull from in my own ministry, it doesn't matter. It has its place. And if you listen long enough, people call in and they're deeply affected that a certain song played at a certain time. I mean, God uses radio music big time. So I cannot discount that in any way, shape, or form, just because I don't think it's much of a fit. And I like listening to the songs on the radio. I don't go into deep worship when I do that, but it has its place. And if it brings the truth of God, the word of God, then it has its place and it reaches a lot of people. And so,
yes, it does.
And what I've realized for me is, and I think I would say this to every person who feels any bit called in music or worship, you have to find your place. And your place is not always going to be up front holding a microphone and singing in front of thousands. In fact, there's many more of us who don't do that than there are of them who do. So I went to a worship service the other night here in the Seattle area for Palm Sunday, and it was fabulous. I mean, it had the stage, it had all of that. The songs were in order. It was pulled off without, you know, as a person in the congregation, I didn't worry that the person was singing off key or the group wasn't together or somebody went in a different. It was so well prepared that it flowed. And when you're in the congregation, that allows you to kind of let go and have a worship experience in that setting. So there's a place for everybody. I go to living rooms. I get to a piano or I bring my piano and I have a combination of worship songs and my own music. I can also flow in the spirit. So I like to think of what I do as kind of a hybrid of a bunch of different things. But mostly, I really just am able to let the Lord flow. It's hard to do that in the scenario that I just described in the church I went to the other night.
Right.
It's harder to do that. What they do is they might extend the song. They might sing extemporaneously for a little while. They might turn a radio song into an 8 or 9 minute experience. So for me, I have to, I lost my train of thought.
I would interject that I love what you're saying. I would interject. I think you're of the same heart I am, and maybe it took me a few years to get here. We go to these places and we're open before the Lord, and those are His people. And God may have put things in our heart that we know that maybe they're not aware of, but we're not there to try to force them to change. We can't do it. You can't force people to change.
That's a good point.
And so you learn to flow with them and connect with them and become community with them. And then if you have the opportunity, I don't know, maybe out from, I'm not saying this particular church, but there probably are places you've went, Chris, where they'd say, now we know you can sing. Why don't you come to this whole meeting we have over here with the ladies? And that gives you an opportunity to maybe give them something, I guess I'll use the word experience, deeper than they've had. I don't know.
Right. There's something really powerfully intimate when you sit in a living room and it's just us.
Yes.
Feels like family, like we're just getting together with one purpose in mind. And I often talk about the audience of one where really as a worship facilitator, because I don't know why I balk against leader, because I think when people hear worship leader, they think of someone up front, up center, leading a large group of people. I just like to go in and worship myself, you know, worship by myself, but with people present. I've come to a place where I'm really able to close out what's going on with other people and just focus on Jesus and worship Him like I would if I were alone.
Yes.
Because when I'm alone, I'll sing crazy melodies and try different things because it really doesn't matter. I'm not cognizant. And I want, when I get to that point where I could do that in someone's living room with people present, then I know I've really arrived. But
well,
for now, it's still a journey.
You and I, you know, and I hear it from you, I think we're at the place where, I'm not trying to belittle anybody, but I know you've been around people, and I have too, where, oh, I went to the church service, whatever church you went to this morning, and it just didn't do it for me because I didn't like the worship set. I didn't care for the music. But I feel so much beyond that now when I'm really connected to the Lord.
That's right. I'm not
saying that the music doesn't matter at all, but I'm not so focused on their worship set, if you know what I'm saying.
I totally agree with that. In fact, we worship in spite, not because of. We worship in spite of, because when you get a large group of people together and you have one thing going on up on the platform, you know that's not going to please everybody.
No.
Everybody has their own taste. They have their own agenda. They have their own energy level. They have their own viewpoint. And that's when we have to put those things aside and say, I'm here for you, Jesus. I mean, you are my audience of one, and it doesn't matter. And so a lot of times I don't like overheads. I find that when I have my eyes open and I'm looking at words just to make sure I sing them correctly, it doesn't really do a lot for me. And again, I can't say that that should be true for everybody because we're all different. But for me, I just close my eyes. And if I don't know the words, I can still sing in the spirit. I can sing the melody in the spirit. I can even listen to the words with my eyes closed, hands raised, and focused on the Lord.
Amen.
See, that's the thing.
Yes.
Where is your focus?
Right.
When you are in a setting like that, are you focused on the people up front? On the technological things? Are you focused on the lighting? The words on the screen? Music makes us feel good. Music creates mood. And are you experiencing the experience of, you know, that whole atmosphere? Or are you there and you're just worshiping Him? And so I saw a lot of that in Jeremy's book too. I mean, I feel like I saw that in his book where, you know, he talked about some of the challenges that we have in corporate worship.
I think that he's, if we could sit down and have coffee with him, we would really relate well with him.
I think so.
And I think the other thing, you know, this, I've been getting some words. Somebody dropped the word on me of that I didn't even know. And it's what God has been doing in my heart, that we're in a new season and He wants to bring. I mean, we don't completely divorce ourselves from the past, but forget the past. And He has something new and better for us.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just laughing to myself when I hear you talk, because I think in a lot of ways, we probably, maybe years ago now, I don't know, maybe recently, it depends on you or me, we've kind of left, I would call it, a lot of the bondage we've had from the past. I mean, if I go with my granddaughters to a Christian concert, that doesn't offend me anymore. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, yes. Because if that concert speaks to your granddaughter, then that's wonderful. If that's the mode that Jesus uses to get through to her, that's wonderful.
Right.
This is where we need to be more open-minded, because even how we all came to the Lord is so different. We all didn't come at a Billy Graham. In fact, I went to a Billy Graham in high school, and I know my friend that took me was all charged up, thinking that I was going to get up and go down to the altar call, and I didn't feel a thing. I didn't feel any bit of drawing, nothing.
Right.
I mean, she finally had to witness to me one-on-one to get me to understand that I needed to make a commitment to the Lord and ask him into my heart. And so we all came to the Lord in different ways. So music is going to speak to us in different ways. God uses so many different vehicles. Our problem is we put him in a box so much.
Oh boy.
And I'm not, you know, I'm not saying have fellowship with darkness and that God works through dark things, but he does work through a lot of things that we're like, that's kind of a gray area. I can't believe the Lord used that, but he can and he will because Amen. Of his love Amen. For us.
I think, yeah, that's really good. So, boy, this just turning into our interview.
Yeah.
This is good.
I hope
I'm going to use this. I think there's a lot of good, if you don't mind.
No, I don't mind at all.
I want to just kind of segue then, because I know I can just tell you and I are the same heart about a whole lot of things. How do you see, I don't know, with the atmosphere of the world, where things are going with the church? You've been to these home fellowships. I've been to some too, with some of the same people we associated with years ago that have the same hearts you and I do. And their heart is beating for the bride of Christ, a pure and spotless bride. I think music will be a big part of drawing the church. And I already see that with some of the people I associate with. They never went where you and I did. They don't know supposedly all these truths. They know some of them, but I can already see they have the heart of the bride. How do you see this? I mean, I think even Jeremy Riddle's in the same place that way. How do you see that growing, coming about? I don't know if I'm asking
okay.
it the right
I
way.
I think, and, well, go ahead.
I mean, it's different than like we're moving now from Christian concerts or Christian radio music to something of more depth, you know?
Right. Well, you kind of mentioned the world. I would say as it gets darker, the light shines brighter. The light is more seen. And so I don't fear the darkness. I know it's scary. But I've been in, along with that, I'm going to say that home groups, I think we need to look at those because there's a church model out there with a pastor leading everything.
Mm.
People are heavily encouraged to tithe, and I don't want to get into the tithe discussion, but they have to keep their eye focused on income so they can keep the lights on and keep the doors open. So I get all of that. And then there's a lot of control issues that happen in the church that, again, I don't really want to unpack that.
No.
But at the same time, the church serves a particular purpose, and it's very important, and I would never say throw it away.
No.
What I would like to do is add to that model and say that because of the darkness, we have to think that a lot of things might start having to go underground.
Mm.
So churches will be easy targets.
Yes.
If and when we get to a point where the government or whomever says, we don't like what you're doing, and they maybe even try to pass laws, whatever, your churches are going to be heavily attacked. They're going to be the first line of attack. And so what I'm seeing is a movement. I believe I'm seeing a movement where more people are meeting in homes and they're doing it regularly. So for instance, this home group that I go to every week, they have enough talent in the group that they can rotate people to lead a little bit of live worship. They don't pipe anything in, it's all live. And that person might lead for about 45 minutes. And again, the variety within that group is pretty stunning. Everybody brings something different to the table.
Right.
But then they have a time of communion and they pick this is all scheduled. So they schedule out for the worship person, and then they schedule out for the person to give a little, and I mean little, talk during communion, before communion. So there might be a, what do we call a micro mini message.
Right.
And then we have time for testimonies and prayer requests. And it's about 2 hours. Now, that's church to me. I didn't have a pastor. The people who lead it in their home, they facilitate the meeting.
Yeah. But,
and they will talk to people if they feel like someone was either out of order or in error or whatever. That's their responsibility to do that. But that is something that they feel on their heart to do, to open their home to do that. There's no food. They don't do food. And I think that's really important, because people can get kind of mired in the details and say, well, if I'm having it at my house, do I need to provide food to people? No, not on a weekly basis. We can't do that. Now, they'll have a potluck. Are you still there? Oh, there yeah. You are. They'll have a potluck every once in a while, and they'll have just a fellowship night every, I don't know, 6 to 8 weeks. And then I go to a prayer group. Actually, there's all kinds of prayer groups that I could be going to and that I have gone to, but not regularly. But there's a group that meets every week where they have a piano, and I might open with some songs, or we might talk a while and then we'll turn to a worship time. But honestly, that prayer meeting, I hear people, I can, you know, while I'm leading songs, I hear people crying. I hear people, I might look back, because my back is actually to everybody. And I might take a peek back, and you got three women sitting there, two on the outside, wow, ministering to the one in the middle and being touched by the Lord. I love the body ministry aspect, yes, that we get into when we have home groups. You don't get that in the church. You get a certain thing in the church. And again, I'm not going to discount that. But then you also get other things doing other things. So that's why the Lord has placed me in these small groups. And I feel like I'm thriving as a Christian, as a worshiper, at the piano, as a songwriter. I feel completely 100% blessed.
Yes.
And like I'm where I'm supposed to be. That's
kind of like it's kind of like a greenhouse for growth in what God is calling you to.
Correct.
And I don't think you or I, and again, I'm not trying to be critical, I don't think you or I would grow to the place God wants us to be without that. We need, I've come to the point where, even though I've had a couple bad breakups with churches, where I realize without the body of Christ that I won't become the man of God and be in the place that he wants me to be in, to be the best of service to others. I realize that. And that doesn't, like you say, that doesn't necessarily mean going to some regimented church service, though it can include that. I need that. I'm looking at a church where and I'm kind of church shopping myself. I go to a few of them, but I'm not completely locked into one church, because I'm looking for more than the teaching and all that. I'm looking for the relationships, right?
Correct. And you hit on something really big, Matt, and that is the body of Christ. We need the body of Christ, and we don't need to, one of my biggest concerns about large churches is the fact that you can walk in there and kind of hide.
Yes.
You can go, you can come in late and you can leave early and nobody will bother you, and they might never know your name. And that is not the fault of people as much as it is the fault of the system.
Exactly.
Because, you know, within any system, you have outgoing people who will meet and greet without being told to do that. But the system itself, when you get so large, it makes it very hard to connect with it the body does. Of Christ. And so that is another big point for having home groups, because some people go to church and they never say a word.
No,
they sit in the pew, they sing the songs, there might be a hey, greet your neighbor moment, which is good too. but they have never have a chance to share. And when we come to these small prayer groups and home meetings, everybody has an opportunity for their voice to be heard.
Amen. That's so good. I think, I don't know about you, but I'm just laughing to myself because I know of those that I associate with that the kind of church you just mentioned where you can be like a woodwork in the wall, that's what they want. They want to go in and leave. But I don't think there's any real transformation there.
Correct. There's an association,
yep.
You know, not a transformation. There's an association. Oh, I go to this church. Now, granted, there are churches that are much more ministry oriented and they are tapping the shoulders of people within the congregation to step forward and do things. But you know what? They're smaller churches.
Right. Too.
That's the other thing, you know, where you get too large and you're just going to miss a lot of that ability to call on people and get them involved.
Amen.
I feel like the component that I'm missing in my life is to minister more to new believers and the unsaved and to reach them. And this has been a point of prayer for me because, Lord, I love ministering to your church, but that's not all I want to do.
No.
I would love to see people come to the Lord, and I would love to mentor new Christians. Mm. I'd love to have a home group of new believers. And I also feel that it's important to consistently teach on worship and what that is and why we're doing it.
Yes.
Because a lot of people don't understand how critical it is that they try to really connect with the Lord. Worship is really your connection to Him. God speaks a lot of things to me through worship. If I'm able to focus on Him and see Him in front of me, and that a lot of this requires visualization.
Mm.
But we sing songs out of rote.
Yeah.
A lot of times. And so you have to put yourself in a place where you're not waiting for Him to come and tap you.
Amen.
You know, I closed my eyes. I focus on Him. I think about many times about walking with Him, what that would be like.
Mm.
And just being with Him while I'm worshiping. And that helps. You know, that helps a lot of times for me to connect. And be in a place of like total consecration and focus. And so that's a skill too, that that's a muscle that you have to stretch.
So that's good. So what do you say, since you say you have a heart to see people taught on worship, what's your thoughts on, I know you're a worshiper, it just exudes out of you, that's your lifestyle. What do you say to the Christian that, well, I go to church and I worship in the song service, that's my worship, but there's so much more to it than that? How would you say that your life has been changed by, I don't know, is the term living a life of worship? How do you implement that? How do you begin to take a new Christian, as it were, and say, well, Marge, it's so much more than just going for an hour or two on Sunday and singing these songs and being emotionally and spiritually touched. It's so much more than that. And Jesus wants you to grow into that place where, you know, your life is a life of worship. You know,
yes.
Somehow if we could teach that or instill that into the body of Christ, I think sometimes I miss it because I'm a guy that kind of compartmentalizes things, and I do this at this time and this at that time, I don't.
Yes. Well, my first thing would be that worship comes from relationship.
Mm.
In fact, relationship comes before worship.
Yes.
We don't worship to get necessarily, you know, we worship to give. We will receive in worship, but worship is not a pill to, no. It's not a panacea to get you someplace with the Lord. So how do we develop relationships? Well, by spending time with that person, by reading their love language, their love letter to us. And that's how God is. God is love. Universally, completely holy. Everything about God is love. And love can only be experienced through relationship. Mm. So his number one thing, and I think about him walking with Adam in the cool of the day. I mean, I often think about that phrase that's God. Yes. Think about it. God walked with Adam in the cool of the day, and he just wanted to have relationship with him.
Mm.
He just... That's who he is. He's a God of relationships. So how do we get there? Well, we pray, we read the word, we spend time, we give him time. And then out of that, worship should flow. So that's where I would start with a new Christian. Before
that's good.
I unpack anything about worship, I would be encouraging them in regular reading and spending time. And I encourage myself in that. I don't do that enough. You know, every time I sit down and get serious about scripture, because I get stuff on my phone all the time. Hey, here's the scripture of the day, or I get these notifications, and then I will purposely open that up and look at that scripture. And that's all well and good, but it's when I sit down and I got my little notebook and I start reading things, and I have notes of what the Lord quickened to me in that moment on that day. Because you can read the same passage more than once, months apart, and you'll get something completely different. Exactly. That's why it's the living word.
Amen.
And this is by far and away the best way to enhance worship.
Yes.
Is to spend time in the word and get to know him. That Amen. Way, through his truth of who he is and who you are in him.
Amen.
So on that worship thing that I want to teach on, if I put a home, I hope I can put some kind of a home group together. We would start with those foundational things of reading the word and spending time with the Lord. Before I ever get into some kind of nuts and bolts about worship.
Wow, that's good.
I'm not even sure what those nuts and bolts are off the top of my head. I was thinking about, I heard this sermon and the guy was talking about the first time the word worship was used in the Bible.
Right.
You probably know about that.
Somewhere in Exodus or something?
Oh, it's Genesis.
Genesis?
It's Abraham.
Yes.
When he was taking Isaac.
Yes, that's
and
it.
And he told the guys, you wait here while we go up and worship. And I haven't done any kind of a Hebrew study, but so often we think that worship involves music and a certain stance.
No.
And worship should just be our life. It should Amen. Be the outpouring of our love for him in everything we do.
Yes.
The way that we treat people, the way that we get tasks done.
Yes.
Everything we do should, and isn't there a scripture like do all is unto the Lord or something?
Right.
Sometimes when I would be cleaning my house and I would say, Lord, I just, help me to do this task as unto you. How can I do this mundane task and make it unto you?
Mm.
And so you clean your house. It's a blessing to you, but you bless others. You can have people in your home. You can host them in your home. So everything that we do really can become some kind of an offering. And that's what worship is. It's an offering, a sacrifice of praise.
Yes, that's very good. Hello once again, fellow worshipers at the Kingdom Corner podcast. This is Matt Geib once again, and I'm just breaking in into this interview because there's so much that Chris and I have talked about that she has shared with us that I just felt like we needed to take a break and come back for a second part. I want you to take these things you've heard about today to marinate on them, to think about them, and to respond at Understanding Times and Seasons on my Facebook page, some of the questions I'll ask you. I want you to think about these things. There's a lot of good enlightening meat that was shared today, and I just felt like it would just be too much to do it all at one time. So I just want to hit on some of these things that just stood out to me. You know, Chris talked about the difference between a worship facilitator versus a worship leader. Don't you like that term, facilitator? I do. Then she talked about how worship is impacted by intercession and how they relate. I thought that was really good. Then the different types of music that we see in the body of Christ today, you know, radio music, YouTube music, worship music in church, that it all has its place depending on the setting, depending on what you're listening to it for, what you're using it for, right? And there's no reason to condemn any of it. And probably my favorite point, or one of my favorite points today, was if you're leaning toward being a worship facilitator or a worshiper in the body of Christ, we're all worshipers. Romans talks about presenting your body as a living sacrifice, which is your spiritual worship, whatever you're doing, that you still need to find your place in the body of Christ. You need to find where you fit. You need to find your tribe. Have you done that? Have you found your tribe? And then one that I highlighted for myself specifically that really speaks to me right now in the season I'm in, and that is we are in a new season. God is doing new things, and he's bringing new transformation through the vehicle of worship. God is doing new things, bringing new transformation through the vehicle of worship. Those are just some of the things that were highlighted to me as I interviewed Chris and as I went through this again and listened. And now I want to give you some questions. I want you to, like we're continuing to do with my podcast, I want you to respond to them at my Facebook group, Understanding Times and Seasons. Understanding Times and Seasons. Write out your answers, or you could go in there and you could go live on a video. Don't be afraid to do that. I mean, I know at first, I guess I've never been afraid to do that, but I know some people that were. But if you start doing that, you'll get used to that. Number one, what is the difference between a worship facilitator versus a worship leader? What do you see, number one, is the difference between a worship facilitator versus a worship leader? Number two, how are worship and intercession related? Number two, how are worship and intercession related? What is the role of intercession, we could say, in worship? What is the role of intercession in worship? Number three, have you found your place as it pertains to being a worship facilitator or a worshiper? Have you found your tribe? Have you found your place? Have you found the place where you fit in? You need to examine your heart and answer that. What does that mean to you? Number four, worship is cultivated through blank. Number four, worship is cultivated through blank. Let me give you a hint. The blank word starts out with R, okay? The blank word starts out with R. Extra credit. Chris Walters talked about several times about her audience of one. What do you think she was referring to? What was she referring to? What was Chris referring to when she talked about her audience of one? Again, you respond to these questions on my Facebook page, Understanding Times and Seasons. Understanding Times and Seasons. We'll have these questions down also in the show notes. And now finally, I want to give the contact information for Chris.
The contact information for Chris Walters, W-A-L-T-E-R-S, and you spell Chris, C-H-R-I-S, Chris Walters. And I want to give this information. The first thing I want to put before you is a chance to give into her ministry. She's traveling across the country. She's kind of like a singing worship facilitator, minstrel to the body of Christ. God's going to connect her with a lot of different people, do a lot of different transformational things, but she needs support. My friend needs support. And here are the ways you can support her. I'm going to give you a Venmo app, and this is her Venmo app, @Chris, C-H-R-I-S, dash Walters, W-A-L-T-E-R-S, dash 128 Venmo. @CHRIS Chris dash Walters WALTERS dash 128 Venmo. And then the next place you could give, which she'd rather have you give at Venmo because there's like a 17% charge to give through GoFundMe. But here's the GoFundMe. GoFund.me/64344A. It's GoFund.me/64344A. Okay? And we'll have these contacts up, these places up for you to give to her if you want, also on the show notes. And then she wanted me to include her email for those of you that like to get a hold of her. You can even, you know, talk to her there, arrange to send a check. You could just arrange to talk with her. I'm sure she'd be glad to respond to you. TheChrisList@Outlook.com. 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 TheChrisList is all one word. TheChrisList@Outlook.com. And that today is our podcast, is our interview we had with the awesome Chris Walters, the singing facilitator of worship to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I'm so excited. Go support her today. Go give into her ministry today. She's a wonderful person, a wonderful saint of God. Thank you for being a part of the Kingdom Corner podcast. Come back to hear part number two. Living a life of worship. God bless you.
I belong to you, Jesus. I belong to you. I give myself.